You're listening to the OneOfUs.net podcast network.
Brand spanking new edition of Five and Out. I'm Wes.
I'm Steve.
And this week we have a very bah humbug top five for you. Steve, what is that top five?
That is right, Wes. We are talking about our top five Christmas traditions we are done with.
We're done.
We're over.
It's over.
I don't want it anymore, Mom.
Well, we have an extra long podcast to get to, so let's get to it.
Wesley, my winter of watching continues.
Tell me all about it.
Honestly, I cannot even write down a list of all of the stuff that I have watched in the last couple of weeks.
Well, you can't read, so it only tracks you can't write.
Man, it is... So not only do I have Netflix, as we all do, I also have Amazon Prime, which I steal from my mom. Sorry, Amazon.
I'm not cheating on you.
Which I totally pay for. And for Christmas, I bought a, whatever, Black Friday-ish, I bought a Chromecast, which
what
came...
What is that?
Come on!
What?
Come on!
What? What is Chromecast?
You don't know what a Chromecast is?
No!
Really?
No!
Chromecast is...
Yes, really, yes. I don't know.
No, I know. I'm just being an asshole.
Yeah, that's right.
Chromecast is it's a little device that you plug into your television, like through your HDMI port, and then through your phone, you can stream whatever you want onto your TV or via your computer, in your Wi-Fi network. So, like, if you have, like, anything on YouTube, you can just like you can through your PS3, PS4, but you do it through your phone to the TV. You can do, like, any web page that you'd want to show someone, you can cast it onto your screen, you can... Like that's...
See, I've heard of that. I've always just called it magic.
Right. Excuse me.
Yes.
Excuse me. So I bought some magic.
Oh, they're selling that now.
That's right. But the point of this... Oh, your dog is eating my shoe right now.
I think the ball might have landed
ball
in the shoe.
Ball maybe in my shoe. Sammy?
Is your shoe deballed?
My shoe has been deballed, castrated.
Oh, my God.
So, with this Chromecast, one of the perks you get with it is a three-month trial of what's called HBO Now, which is basically HBO Go, but they changed the name to whatever reason. What is in a name? I'll tell you what's in the name of HBO Now. A shit ton of awesome stuff.
Oh, yeah? Like what?
Oh, my God. So I've never had HBO, but I've watched The Wire. I've watched a couple episodes of Veep. You've watched Oz. Mm-hmm. We've both watched Game of Thrones, mm-hmm. Rome. So we've seen a lot of Deadwood. We've seen a lot of HBO stuff, but I've never had it at my disposal. So basically every movie on HBO, all of their documentaries, all of their series are now available for me to just stream from my phone in perfect HD quality to my television.
Like I said, magic.
Sorry. Via magic.
Thank you.
And tell you what, friend, I have a three-month trial, and I'm like, challenge accepted, motherfucker.
My God, this man has watched all of HBO.
It is. So I've watched a bunch of stuff, and I love documentary stuff, and they've got some really, really good ones on there. I watched Tales of the Slim Reaper, which is another kind of like true crime documentary thing that was going on. This guy... murdered a bunch of African-American prostitutes in South Central L.A., and nobody cared for 30 years, basically.
Oh, wow.
I watched that. I watched a documentary that won an Oscar last year about an honor, quote-unquote, honor killing in Pakistan, mm-hmm. About this woman who was shot in the face by her father and her uncle and thrown into a river.
Oh, my God.
Because she wanted to marry the dude that she loved. So they shot her in the face and threw her in a river, and she survived.
Holy shit.
And how, like... social injustice in Pakistan plays into that. I've watched. And it's kind of a sharp contrast from the thing I just talked about. But a movie that I truly, truly love, that I rarely talk about on this podcast, is the movie 300.
Okay.
I rewatched 300 again. I actually own 300, but I watched it again on HBO Go. And God damn it, dude, I love that movie.
Yeah.
It is so good.
It's very fun to watch.
It does not pretend to be, a lot of other things except an awesome, epic.
Ancient, thrill ride.
Yeah, thrill ride with dudes just jacked out of their minds. Ooh. In the most, artistic way and blood and, oh, dude. And by the way, totally forgot Michael Fassbender's in that movie.
Is he really?
He is.
Who is he?
He's one of the kick-ass Spartans, dude.
I should have known.
I'm sure his name ends with Toss, in some way. It's Leonidas, Savinus.
Michael Fassbender Toss.
And then I was thinking about this as I was watching the movie. So obviously the dudes in 300 are fucking jacked.
Yeah.
Out of their minds. And I love the idea of, Gerard Butler is this, I'm sure he's been a handsome man most of his life, mm-hmm. Fairly in shape and, I got it going on. And then he goes to 300, Fassbender, the same thing. And, a couple of these other guys.
I hope that Gerard Butler wakes up every single morning. He's like, yeah, Gerard, you got it going on.
I know Gerard pretty well. That's his quote he lives by.
I call him Jerry.
But could you imagine, already being in good shape and then being like, oh, no, friend, no, you are not. And then coming out the other side being like, I am a god! Oh, my God, dude. Oh, my God.
I wonder how long they kept up those bodies after the movie.
It's impossible, right?
Yeah.
You can't.
No, you can't.
There's no way.
It becomes a way of life.
I don't think it allows for other parts of your life to exist.
You're constantly in the gym, constantly eating nothing but protein.
I feel like all you can eat is raw animals and lead. That's it. That's it.
That's it. I just picture, for dinner, we brought in this sheep.
Just, you whap in the head. You just start eating it like it's still buying. And then with the knife you've used, you have to eat the knife, too.
The knife. And for dessert, here's this 2x4.
And just beat it on your abs until,
you absorb it.
But I've watched so much stuff. I'm going to stop my ramblings for a minute. What have you been watching? What have you been doing? What's been going on over there?
I have started watching Doctor Who, finally.
Really?
Yes.
Did you? I'm assuming you started season one, episode one.
Season one, episode one of the 2005 reboot, not from the very, very beginning.
When was the very, very beginning? The
70s? It was at least 50 years ago.
God.
Yeah.
When dinosaurs roamed.
That's right. When God was a kid.
Okay, so episode one...
I loved it, man.
Yeah?
People have told me for years, our friends Andy and Susan, who had their baby a week before you had your baby, or Holly had your guys' baby, to be more accurate, they have told me for years, dude, you love Buffy the Vampire Slayer, you will love Doctor Who. And I'm like, yeah. I got other stuff I want to watch.
I have some more Charmed to watch.
But it just... became time. I'm looking for something new I really want to get into, and then I met somebody in my music improv class who was super into Doctor Who, and then half the class like, oh my god, I love Doctor Who! It's a sign, man. It's a sign.
So how far are you now?
I finished the first season, and per West fashion, I'm taking a break between seasons to watch something else. Right now, I'm watching Luke Cage, finally.
Okay. I've been thinking about Luke Cage as well. We actually watched, using the HBO Now, we watched the first episode of Westworld. Which the internet has been a buzz about.
How is that?
I gotta tell you, man, it's the first. Let me rephrase this. I feel like I can never make an accurate judgment on a series until at least you get 3 episodes in,
or at least 6 seasons in.
At least 6 seasons, and at that point, you're powerless to stop yourself.
That's how I watched Charmed.
So the first episode, there's some heavy shit happening in it, and with the baby, it is, by the way, baby's doing well. For anyone who's interested out there, baby's doing very well.
Does she like Westworld?
Cobra Jones, actually, real quick, Cobra Jones not super enticed by Westworld. Cobra Jones, super into Finding Dory.
Really?
Yes.
Wow.
Not even kidding. My month-old daughter, my wife and I, we rented it the other day. We wanted to watch it. Of course, Pixar. You gotta support it.
Bright colors.
Yeah. So my wife had little Cobra Jones in her lap, and she watched at least half of that movie, man. She was just entranced by the colors and the whatever. if she could see that far, I don't know.
Wait, the last time I saw her, Holly told me that she could only see things in grayscale.
Well, I like to believe. I don't know what the facts are, but I choose to believe. My daughter really likes this movie. Which, by the way,
I feel like there are some parallels in that last statement towards some things in this country. Let's not get into it.
No,
we're fine.
Did you watch Finding Dory?
No.
Okay.
I didn't really like Finding Nemo. I'm one of the few who didn't, I know.
Okay. I don't think you're going to like Finding Dory then.
You know why I didn't like Finding Nemo?
Because of Dory.
I didn't like Dory.
I agree. And it's not for what they had to do with the character of Dory, if that's what the road you're going to go down. There's some redeeming things about this movie that are good. Hi, I can't remember anything. It's like, okie dokie, hi, I can't remember anything. There's a certain point where I'm like, I fucking get it. Okie dokie.
Yeah, real sick of that in Finding Nemo.
Yeah. So there are some, there's a very cool thing that happens in Finding Dory. That you meet these...
Dory gets eaten by humans.
And she just this tiny little fillet. This tiny little fillet of
this
fish.
Adorable little lemon-crusted fillet.
And as they bite, she's like, hi, I can't remember. She meets these two otters on a rock.
Wait, in Iraq?
In Iraq. So Dory is... She's like, I gotta find my parents. I'll go to the Middle East. And everyone's like, Dory, look, I know you can't remember a lot. I don't know if the Middle East. It's like, no, they treat women really well there. I'm going to go there. Especially fish. And they're like, no, Dory,
oh boy, don't you watch the news?
I mean, there are, I was surprised with the amount of political implications Finding Dory had in it.
Wow.
Yeah. At one point, she gets in a boxing match with Saddam Hussein. It's very strange.
That's crazy.
It is crazy. It was strange. I don't know.
Oddly behind the times.
Yeah. It was that. Lots of questions.
Yeah.
I'm not sure. Turns out, you find out at the end of the movie, Dory is an ISIS freedom fighter.
I knew it!
The whole I can't remember thing, that is just a ploy to throw off the American government from prosecuting her.
Because who better to tell your secrets to than a person who can't remember anything?
Exactly. So, I mean, it was, you've seen Homeland, right?
Yes.
Finding Dory is so much like Homeland.
Wow!
Yeah. Yeah.
This is crazy. I have to see Finding Dory now.
But, at one point she finds these otters on a rock.
Oh, different.
And right away my wife's like, oh, I think that's Idris Elba for the voice of one of them. And as the credits roll at the end, the two otters are Idris Elba and Dominic West, a.k.a. McNulty and Stringer Bell from The Wire.
That's amazing!
Are playing these two otters on a rock. Sorry, in Iraq.
Thank you.
In the middle of the ocean. I was like, that is some great casting. That is awesome.
Speaking of Idris Elba, I watched the remake of The Jungle Book, which is already on Netflix. And
it's on Netflix already?
Yes. And I recommend the shit out of it.
My wife has seen it, you've seen it, and both recommend it.
Oh my god, dude. It is so much better. I'll say it. It is so much better than the classic Disney movie. They take what was great. This is a reboot done right. They take what was great about the Disney movie, the classic one, and then they updated that stuff. And they fleshed out some of the stuff that needed to be fleshed out.
You mean flushed out?
Oh, boy. And they updated everything for a new generation. And they darkened it up to make it different enough than the brightly colored, singy-songy earlier version.
Like, okay.
Yeah. They took what was great about the first one, they updated everything, and they did something different with it. That's how you do an effing reboot.
Well, Wes, if I could just find some time to watch a movie now and again, maybe I'd watch it.
You're very busy with all your stuff going on.
I mean, all I have to do is watch 298
times. Then maybe you could fit that one in there.
Dude, I was so disappointed. Since our daughter had been, right when she was born, I told my wife, I was like, the first time we're getting a babysitter is the weekend of Rogue One, and we're going to go out, we're gonna get a babysitter for the first time ever, we're going to go out, have a drink, get some food, watch a movie, come back, do our thing. and I got sick last weekend.
No.
I got sick, so we couldn't go to the movie, and it was fucking freezing in Chicago. So I'm sick. I'm all like snuffly and sniffly and like the post nasal drip, and I'm holding my daughter, and she's like, "Blah!" And I'm like, and I'm sitting here watching this documentary about a woman being shot in the face in the Middle East.
And your daughter and you are just puking on each other back and forth.
Blah, 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 blah. And I was like, oh! It's like, this is not what this should be.
And your dog is bored.
My dog, my poor, poor Luna Pooch. It is -6 outside. She hasn't been outside in a month. And she's like, dude, please.
I've been holding it for so long.
I'm like, Luna Pooch, you gotta wait till the spring. We need that fertilizer for the flowers.
Ooh, my goodness, it's gonna feel so good, Luna Pooch.
Oh my god, dude. I was kinda feeling that cabin fever going on this weekend.
I hear you, man. I hear you. Especially about the dog. My poor dog, Sammy Boy here. He can't walk the 12 feet around the corner from the front gate without stopping it because he's so cold and he can't bear to put his paws down. So our walks tend to be him walking a few feet, stopping, I pick him up and walk, I put him down, repeat.
Oh, man. Brutal.
So brutal. Sammy has actually started. So I've been seeing this lady for the past little over a couple of months, and she comes over a lot.
Way to be real specific. A little over a couple of months.
Yeah, you're welcome. So Sammy has started what I like to call sex pooping.
What?
So Sammy, whenever there's romantic entanglements going on, he always throws a fit, which is why I needed to get him a bark collar. Because
does he think like she's attacking
you? I don't know what he thinks. Because it'll start like where you start kissing, and he will start whining and like trying to like get in on in with us.
Yeah.
He starts looking at your face. He's like, stop it, stop it, stop it. But when we start doing more adult things, we of course shut the door. And then he'll start barking, whining, and he'll eventually start ramming his whole body against the door and scratching.
I really think he thinks she's trying to attack you or something.
I don't know, man. But after, you know, our session, if you will.
Your romantic entanglement has been completed.
It becomes a game of where did Sammy poop?
Really?
Yep.
Wow.
It sucks.
Yeah, but, I mean, doesn't it show his love for you? Like a crazy girlfriend, right?
Yeah.
I love you so much, I shit all over
everything. Shit all over your floor.
I love it.
I'm going to watch you clean it up. Here's a toy, throw it for me.
Because I love you.
So many ex-girlfriends like that.
Well, the good thing is, Sammy is a small poochie.
Yeah.
So he got small turds.
You would think.
I do.
Small pooch, big asshole.
Gaping.
Oh, God.
Man, that is.
It sucks. And then we play the game of did he also pee? Which is also a fun game.
Because, I mean, the game that is always played after a romantic entanglement is, let me clean up after myself and a moist towelette for you as well, madam.
Yep.
Allow me, please.
I also poop as well.
Well, if you'll excuse me, I think my dog pooped out here. Oh, Sammy!
Oh, God!
Sammy, oh, my God,
how
it's an enormous
you?
Poop. It's almost human-sized.
Oh, there's something else I want to bring up. I don't know if it's podcast appropriate, but we've talked about worse.
I mean, we did just talk about you finishing having sex and walking outside and taking a dump in your own apartment.
Yeah, you think I could do it in my toilet?
No.
No. No. No. Definitely not.
It's a cry for help.
So this lady friend has... God, I don't... I'm getting a little nervous now. So this lady friend, she has requested me to start dirty talking.
Oh.
Which is a skill I haven't had to use in quite a while.
Sure, the knife's edge is a bit dull on that.
Yeah, so I kicked the rust off, and, you know, it's like riding a bike. It's maybe a little awkward at first, but after a few pedals, you get right back in the saddle.
But the best is the first couple of awkward pedals. Yeah. Talk dirty to me. I'm going to shit on my own couch. Wait, no.
You're going to get the pee-pee. I'm going to... Ooh. You just wait 35 minutes of... You're good. Oh, man, buckle up, because here comes the train.
God, that she is a lucky woman. Oh, my God.
Yeah, so it's like you were there.
She called me. She was very concerned.
Did you hear me going, oh, in the background?
Okay, Sorry. So she is politely requested that the thing that gets her going, a little bit of dirty talk.
Yeah, you know, for those extra sensory perception.
What? Oh, my God. Well, you've lost it. You've lost it, friend.
I've lost everything.
Get it back on the sexual rails here.
Okay.
Let's go.
You know, for when the extra rough session, she likes those dirty talking bits.
Okay.
Yeah. That was it. But
what? That was it?
No, but I just wanted to bring up how we've talked before the podcast, because I couldn't stop thinking about when she requested it. I couldn't stop thinking about, ooh, I'm going to give you the pee-pee.
Yeah, I've never had anyone do me with such a huge pee-pee that there is no possible way to sound sexual. To sound arousing when regarding the male genitalia as the pee-pee.
Yeah.
My God, I was over at Wes's house last week, and we had some drinks, we were hanging out, and then all of a sudden, he just whipped out his enormous pee-pee. Oh my God, how big was it? Oh my God, it's the biggest pee-pee I've ever seen.
As big as pee-pees go, it's one of the biggest pee-pees. And then I misunderstood her. I thought she wanted dirty talk all the time.
So, like when you're at dinner?
Yeah. You know, we're eating over our Wisconsin cheese and broccoli soup.
That, what? God, is there a less sexy food item than broccoli cheese soup?
Hey.
It's too hot, it burns your mouth.
I like the way you slurp that soup.
Ow.
Oh, yeah, it's hot like my pee-pee.
Sir, you're going to have to leave.
Oh, God. Yeah, because I'm doing this at an Olive Garden, by the way.
Oh, my God, you are the worst romantic person there's ever been. Oh, my God.
So
poor woman.
I know. I don't know why she's with me. So, the other day, we were just, it was an afternoon delight, if you will. And it was not an extra rough session. It was a very nice session. And I started dirty talking. She started laughing, which is
the correct response.
I don't know if any of you.
It's like, ooh. It's like, I'm gonna cheese your broccoli, girl. Jesus, what?
Good Lord. Are you ready for the garlic on your bread?
Wes, we are not at an Olive Garden. This is inappropriate.
Unlimited soup, salad, and pee-pees.
All right, that'll do it for me.
Oh, man. So it's just nothing. That is the last thing you want to hear,
man,
during sex, is God. Laughter at your expense.
Yes. It's one thing if you're like, it is a rare moment for me to have that kind of like laughy haha time during sex, but when it happens, cool, go with it, and it's great. When you're both on the same page, but when you're like, I'm gonna try this thing,
yeah,
and she's like, blah, you're like, ooh, this turned into a hate fuck real quick,
yeah,
real quick. So, not quite as dirty, but talking about the undergarments of the evening.
Ooh.
I gotta share a pet peeve with you real quick.
Ooh, lacy boxer briefs.
I gotta tell you, man. I thought they'd breathe.
No, they don't.
They do not. They ride.
That's and they chafe.
So I had purchased this particular pair of boxer briefs
mm-hmm.
from particular company, Adidas.
Ooh.
And so I bought a 2-pack, and I was like, cool, I'm digging these. These fit nice. These are good. And then this kind of like Black Friday sale thing rolled around. They were on sale. I was like, let's get some more of these boxer briefs. All right.
That's when I get my underwear. Black Friday sales.
It was this very weird occurrence. I bought a bunch of things I don't normally buy. But I had to buy this this camera thing. It's like basically we're using it as a baby monitor. But Kohl's, of all places, had it the cheapest. And it's like, when you buy this with Kohl's, you get a whole bunch of Kohl's cash to buy other shit for free. I was like, well, okay, might as well do some boring shit, like underwear and bed sheets and towels, whatever. I mean, it's free.
See, this is how much of a bachelor I am. I don't even know what Kohl's sells.
Right. I never shop at Kohl's.
Yeah.
So it's this thing, like, if it were like, you also get 90 bucks at Best Buy.
It's like, done. I got it.
Only 90? All right.
Guess.
Kohl's, I was like, well, let's take a look here.
Let's browse.
What do we have to choose from?
Oh, a wicker basket aisle? Okay.
So, and this is all online. None of this in the store.
Oh.
All online. So I'm like, cool.
Even worse.
Adidas boxer briefs. I own them. I know I like them, and I could use more of them. I will purchase them. So I do. They arrive. I put them on, and they don't fit the same as the same exact other Adidas boxer briefs.
Wait. Same brand.
Same brand.
Same size.
Same size.
Same material?
Cut material. Yes.
Same, metal shards?
Metal. They are chain mail boxer briefs.
And they chafe.
I can't believe it. So I buy the same fucking thing, and it fits horribly. It is like these boxer briefs in particular, like, hey, do you always want the top of your butt crack showing? Like, no, boxer briefs, I do not. Cool, we're gonna show it. But I don't want it. Right, we got it. But butt crack all the time, you got it. I'm like, god, I feel like they just don't fit the same as the others. I'm like, get it together. Like, why is it not the same? Who's the dude that's like, you know what? We've had pretty good success, but let's get some butt cracks going. Like, what is that?
I don't know. Maybe you got this weird offshoot. Like, Butt Crack City.
It was called BCC.
There it is.
It could have been it. I don't know. That irritates me so much is when you find a thing. You're like, cool. I like whatever. Like, I like this drink. I like this whatever. You're like, I'm going to buy that. And then it becomes different. You're like, I do not like this.
Oh, my God. That's one of my huge pet peeves. When something that works the same way all the time suddenly doesn't work, kind of like what you're saying. The same exact thing fits me just fine this one time, but for some reason, the next time, it does not.
I hate that. Fucking hate it. Anyway, yeah. One last thing.
Is that why you're showing butt crack?
I can't help it, man. It's Butt Crack City.
You could put a shirt on.
Coulda, shoulda, woulda. Whatever.
We can't go back in the past, Wes.
There are 7 degrees of heat outside. I see no reason to have a shirt on. One last thing. I do not partake in the Facebook. I find it to be
the Facebook?
The Facebook. I find it to be an unhealthy thing for me. However, my wife showed me this week that Duncan Parker Newton Gaines.
Sorry, I was drinking. Duncan Parker Newton Gaines.
He posted a video. So it was something to the effect of like one of my favorite Christmas things, you know, to watch, something along those lines. And it was the D&D PSA.
D&D PHB PSA.
That's the one did years ago that features a younger Steve clad in belts. That's right. No shirt, as we were just mentioning, but 2 belts around the torso as the holiday special kind of thing. And I watched that and laughed and had a good time. And then it made me watch the first PSA that you ever did. I partook in a few of them.
Yeah.
Listen to this shit. When you hit the first PSA, like you have it's on the, you know, like the thing you're watching on YouTube, and then there was like PSA 1, 2, 3. It's like PSA number 1. 10 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Isn't that fucking weird?
It is so weird, man. Time flies. To think, to look back and be like, oh, that's me in my pants and belts talking about nonsense. And then my wife looked at me and she's like, really? And you said it was the podcast you didn't want your daughter to see or like to listen to. And I was like, to be honest, I just look like an asshole in that. Like, I sound stupid on the podcast. Like, but anyway, so if you are interested, oh, and actually, so I went back to PSA number one, or was it?
Yes, was Holly in it, or was I in it?
No, sorry, this is still the holiday one.
Okay.
Chris, and Wes is in it as well.
I'm not in that one.
What?
I'm not in the first one. That's Holly. I am in the second one with Sam Barry.
Oh, sorry, then that's what I watched. Sorry.
Yeah.
So, because there are more views on the second one. Sorry, this is getting too long. But if you want to see a humorous young Wesley, plays one of the dudes in that PSA number two, and he says something about Christmas. That's why I thought it was a Christmas one. But he says something like on Dasher, on Prancer, on Comet, like on Tito. And he started just throwing random names of reindeer in, and it made me laugh out loud. And I was like, ah, young Wes, where have you gone?
And who is this old crone in your place? It's actually the one you're talking about. I apologize. The one you're talking about is part 11, a very PSA Christmas or something like that.
So if you want to put the visual component to the audio component that you hear here, feel free to check out the Creative Juices 7 channel.
That's
is that
right.
Correct.
Mm-hmm.
It would help if you like Dungeons and Dragons a little bit. If not, it's still okay.
But yeah. I mean.
Something I had not thought about in a long time, and
Duncan
Parker Newton Gaines threw it up there, and I was like, you know what? I would like to just publicly thank him for giving me a little trip down memory lane.
Yeah, every now and then, dude, I like to go back and watch a few of my favorites, and just like, god damn, I really wish that we'd had... I mean, we had a decent ending. Our last episode was number 50, and I'm sorry, we're going into this now, and I have a feeling a lot of people don't even know what we're talking about. We had a decent ending with our number 50, where we had 50 plus people come back, and we had this massive, huge episode. And like that was a great ending, but we didn't have like an official ending to some of the story arcs because, you know, I graduated, and the big thing was the hard drive with all the raw footage broke, and we lost all the raw footage.
Yeah,
and it's like,
do it.
These people that were on here who had all the stuff finished, they had graduated and moved on. So we couldn't get them back to refilm. And it was just like, it was just became too much of a hassle that we just couldn't finish it.
So if, as we're going into the season of the year to, for New Year's resolutions and that sort of thing, perhaps it is a time for all of us to kind of take a look back and just look back at some of the successes and triumphs in our lives. So
actually, sorry, one last thing for the very few of you who remember 5play.net and who remember Boomers and I's podcast, Gin and Juices, where we announced we were going to start the PSAs again because we were all set to do that. Then Boomer had a baby.
Oh, no.
I know. Isn't it terrible?
Awful.
Who would do that?
I know.
And then it was just like, he was like, sorry, man, I got a family that I have to take care of. I can't talk daily about this and I can't come back and do this. And it's like, you know what, man? You got to do your thing and I, you know, it's fine.
It's amazing how the time just slips away from you when you have someone that needs you all of the time.
Yeah.
Last thing about baby, then we're going to move to the top five.
Okay, my God.
Last thing. My daughter did the funniest thing she's ever done. Real quick baby story. It's the only thing I'm going to tell you about the baby. So, the first time we gave our daughter a bath, which you just have to, like, sponge bathe her, we didn't put anything on her hands, like socks or gloves or anything, and she clawed the shit out of her chest because we were like wiping her down. She's like, I'm cold, I hate you, and she like, it looked like a badger clawed her chest. So we gave her a bath last weekend and she was chill. We put the gloves on and she's like, yeah, get under my neck, under the chin there.
Ooh.
Get under the armpits. I'm a little stinky baby. Help me out. We put the nighttime lotion on her. She's smelling awesome, like baby plus delicious nighttime lotion, like great. We put her in these brand new PJs. She's clean. And it's like 9:30 at night. I'm kind of getting winding down for the night, getting ready to head to bed, as is the baby. I've got a little glass of bourbon. I'm just sipping on a little bit of bourbon. I've got the baby in my left arm doing the dad hold where, like, her head is in the palm of my hand and her body is going down, like, my forearm. She's just chilling. She's like, I am clean, feeling good. You're sipping bourbon. Things are good.
Give me some of that bourbon, Daddy.
But, Dad, just a little bit. Let's each have a little bit of bourbon.
Come on now.
And then my wife walks in from the kitchen into that room, and she goes, my, what an adorable baby you have. And on cue, my daughter just projectile vomits in a perfect rainbow fashion from the palm of my hand up onto my shoulder and down. Keep in mind the timing went, my, what an adorable baby you have. I wasn't even mad, nor was my wife. We both just started laughing. Yeah. Like the comedic timing, perfection. Perfection.
Oh, my God. Well, it sounds like Cobra Jones has your comedic timing.
I mean, let's hope.
Yeah.
Let's hope. It's early. It's early. But right now, she's one for one. So... So going strong.
Well, that's great, man. All right, dude, we have talked so much. But then again, it's been a few weeks.
I know. The baby, I was sick.
Sex pooping, sex, dirty talking.
Dude, dirty poop, sex talk.
Dirty, your weird butt crack.
Guys, can't keep it locked down.
You can't do it. But we have a couple emails to read from the last time we did a podcast. It was our top five villain squad. Remember that one? He's nodding his head yes as he opens a beer.
Opening the beer.
Yep. TJ Bozarth writes, it is top five. Here's my top five action hero. No, it was action hero moves. Oh, my God.
Ooh, Wes.
I'm failing everything right now.
Ooh.
His number five is jumping out of a moving car or building. A moving building.
I understand what he means, but the way you read it was poor. Yeah. Poor.
Sorry. But it's number four, jumping through the air while firing two guns and saying, ah!
I mean, it's awesome.
Yeah, that's right.
Honestly, just firing two guns is awesome.
Yeah.
So anything you add to that, like in a car, you know, like jumping out of something, like just sitting down, firing two guns, just awesome.
Yeah. Is number three, having a gun disguised as something else. Box of Kleenex. I'm just blowing my nose and blowing you away, you sneezy bitch.
I immediately think of Terminator when he's got the box of roses that isn't roses.
Yeah.
It's a shotgun.
That's right. Is number two, disarming a bomb at the last second.
Yeah, good.
You won't know if that works until it stops.
Okay, I need to take a... It's going to be a 30-second detour. Speaking of defusing bombs, another movie I watched in my... goddamn nonstop movie watching mode. I just rewatched The Rock.
Oh, yeah?
It is horrible.
Oh, no.
It is horrible.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, my God.
Steve, is it bad?
It's so bad.
How bad is it?
Nicolas Cage is potentially the worst. Let us continue.
Okay. Here's number one. Banging the villainess. I mean, the hero gets a good girl. The damsel and gets to hate fuck the hot lady villain.
Ooh. God, I wish I thought of that. That would have incorporated so many other lists that we've done.
Yeah, that's
very good.
Yeah, picture that hotel, Steve.
Is that his number one?
That's his number one.
That's everyone's number one.
Also, I had a tough time thinking of Christmas songs I actually like. I mean, Christmas songs like the birthday song. Yeah, you tolerate them, but does anyone actually like them? Oh, what are your top five Christmas? This is a top five suggestion we might be able to do in the future.
Oh.
So thank you, DJ, for writing in. Like, for the hell of it, because I screwed it up earlier, let's do a top five villain squad that was written in.
Oh, my God. I'm so mad I did not think of that number one.
Yeah, you are stewing over there.
Oh, that is excellent.
Oscar writes in, his number five, a top five villain squad, Thomas Gabriel, Live Free or Die Hard. In a digital age, you need a hacker to get into anything, and maybe Maggie Q could tag along.
Okay. I mean, pulling anything from a Die Hard that's not from one or three is tough for me, but okay.
All right. His number four is TK, the Protector, towering muscle to stand behind you.
From what?
The Protector. The guy who hits everyone in the face with his knees. And there's elephants.
The Protector?
Yeah.
What is that?
It's the guy who hits everyone in the face with his knees, and there's elephants.
Is it a Thai movie?
Yes.
Oh, okay. That makes sense.
Is number three is Catwoman.
Catwoman!
Sorry.
Wes, are you still working on your dirty talk?
Catwoman! Seducer and break-in stealth expert.
God damn it, that's good.
That's a good one.
God damn it, it's good.
His number two is, oh, this makes me mad. Agent 47, expert assassin in so many ways.
The hit, a.k.a. Hitman.
Mm-hmm.
Damn, it's good.
His number two is Tyler Durden, charming mastermind that was even able to deceive himself.
Oh, I was gonna give him a snarky comment, but the description, too apt.
Ooh, too appropriate.
God, why is everyone else smarter than us?
Because we're dumb.
That's right. Sorry, let me reference your previous comment. Yeah, there she is. We're having a sexy dinner over some Wisconsin cheese and broccoli soup. That's right. We're a bunch of assholes. I now remember.
And Callan writes in an email that I will not read, but I just want to say on the podcast, Callan, you are the best. Thank you so much.
Yeah, that's awesome. Thanks, dude.
Yes, and now everyone is wondering what he did.
He gave us good dirty talk tips.
Thank you, Callan. God knows I need it. But we have to move forward to this week's top five. Steve, what is this week's top five holiday top five?
This top five holiday top five.
Thank you.
Top five. Five.
Top five. Top five. What is that top five?
We're going to do five from this week's top five.
Okay.
And this is the Christmas traditions you are done with.
Okay. I just want to say holiday traditions we are done with.
Okay.
But since Steve and I celebrate Christmas, we went Christmas traditions.
Whatever.
Yeah.
It is the politically correct version of your holiday. Whatever.
There's a war on Christmas, Steve.
Oh,
did you not hear about this?
Let me pick up my gun. I'll tell you what. This top five. This is ammo for the war against Christmas.
Good Lord.
So top five Christmas / holiday things. I'm done with. I'm done with this stuff.
I'm done so hard with this stuff. Why don't you tell me?
No, Wes. This was your idea. You lead us.
Okay. I had a few ones that I thought right off the bat, and I have a couple more ones. That's right. I'm an asshole with my words and my articulation. So my number five, it just kind of annoys me whenever I get it in the mail. My number five is the family Christmas card.
Okay. Yeah. I thought about Christmas cards too.
As a single man, a bachelor, if you will, it just... You know, I'm going down this road in my life, but whenever I get a Christmas card of a smiling, happy family, a man and his partner, be it a man or a woman, you know what? I'm not going to be...
Why are you so politically correct today?
I don't know, because I'm trying to overcompensate the other way with things that are happening in the country.
Okay.
Fair. So, people from my hometown, I get so many Christmas cards where there's a man and a woman and a kid or two, people from my high school, and it's like they're all smiling and happy and they're all dressed up and the kids look cute and the woman is beautiful and the man is handsome and the kids are wonderful. And it's like, you know what, guys? This is a perfect family in this one instance. After this picture was taken, the kids ran around, started eating dirt, the man started drinking too much, and the woman started nagging everybody, trying to get him back in the car.
Started slutting it up.
That's right. This is a fraud right here. Do not rub my nose in your fake happy family.
I wish I could be like, Wesley, how could you? But I don't disagree entirely. It's actually kind of a newer thing since I've been married, and let me start this way. My family, both immediate and extended, was never like a Christmas card family, and in the last couple of years, we've started getting so many more Christmas cards of our friends who have had children and this and whatever, and like in my wife's family, which is much more Christmas card oriented. So like, and it's fine that my wife, she lines them up around, the door frame of, a way to put them for, the month of December, essentially. Mm-hmm. And it's fine. But I have no interest in participating in this thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I there's part of me that kind of respects the Christmas card where it's like, hey, you're in review, I suppose. Like, I've selected you as a person of value in my life, and I want you to kind of recap our year with us, and there's value to that.
That is a very good point. I actually like those type of Christmas cards.
Yeah.
But continue with your point.
Whereas, you know, it's like Wes is doing this in Second City. He's been doing this. And his lady friend really likes to be talked dirty to over broccoli cheese soup.
Because I would include that.
That's the most important thing. That's probably your headline right
yeah,
there.
Yeah, that's right.
You know, or whatever. It's like, little Jimmy has gone into first grade and he's already beat up his first kid. You know, whatever it
yeah,
is.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, those things are like, hey, I'm going to skim this, I'll be honest.
Yeah.
But I appreciate you finding value in this. So, like, there is something to it, but the...
Just the two-word, Merry Christmas from the Walton family. You know what? Fuck you.
You know what I'd rather have?
What?
A phone call.
That would be amazing.
I'd rather have a phone call. And then text me a picture of, like, hey, it's just us on the couch. You know, like, here you go. Like...
Or FaceTime me.
Yeah, here's a funny picture of my kid. You know, like,
yeah.
Hey, man, hope you're having a good Christmas. You know, that sort of thing.
Yeah.
There is something very – this is and actually, when you were saying – I never thought about it until you started talking about it. I'm like, oh, my God, Christmas cards were kind of the Facebook before Facebook. We're like, hey, this is how we want to be perceived.
Yep, exactly.
But now we can do it every fucking day on Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And especially from, you know what? If you, Holly, and little Cobra Jones would send me a Christmas card, that's, I would love it because I see you guys at least once a week.
Yeah, on
usually.
The regular. On the regular.
On the regular. You know, a few friends I haven't seen in a little bit want to send me a Christmas card, like, perfect. But for people who I haven't seen in 10 years,
you
know what? Get out of here.
Get out of here. Not interested. We've made it clear we're not important to each other. Let's keep it that way.
Yep.
Okay.
That's my number five. I didn't realize how strongly I felt about it until I started talking about it.
That's Christmas cards. That's a venomous five.
Yeah.
I like it.
Oh boy.
All right, number five. I'm going with holiday movies in general.
Okay.
Which is a wide scope, but I feel like there are once we get to Christmas, which I feel like this is maybe the only holiday where this happens, where it's like here is a repertoire of I don't know 20 movies. Roughly 20 movies. Like, oh, and we got to make sure we watch this and this and this. It's like, no, we do not. Let's watch 300 for 298 times.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, let's. So it's like we watch, and it's okay if like you have a movie that you watch because it reminds you of your childhood or this. Like, that's fine. But specifically, when I think of like the 24 hours of A Christmas Story, as it was on TBS or whatever it is. When they first did it, like 20 years ago, like, kind of a cool novelty. All right, I get
it.
Happens every year now. Every year. I'm done.
Yeah.
I'm over it.
Yeah.
I don't want 24 hours of it. I don't want people talking about 24 hours of it. I'm doing the thing I hate with people talking about the 24 hours of Christmas Story.
Mm-hmm.
The fucking tongue on the pole, I get it. Fine. The can't put your arms down, fine. The Red Ryder BB gun, I fucking get it. Fine. I'm done. I'm over it. That's why, like, I was very excited when, God, at this point, it was like 10 years ago, when Elf came out. I was like,
yeah.
Oh, my God, this is a Christmas movie that isn't part of the repertoire. It isn't It isn't Miracle on 34th Street. It isn't A Christmas Story. It isn't Muppets Christmas. It isn't, like, these, we have to watch these things.
Mm-hmm.
Or else it isn't Christmas. Like, fine, it may be for you, but it is not for me. And I don't care, and I don't want to watch this every fucking year. That means by the time I die, I will have watched this at least 45 times. I'm probably only going to make it to 47 or so.
Yeah, yeah. This is getting close to my number three. So the only thing I want to chime in with this is that the only thing worse than those classics are these wannabe classics that come out. Movies like Christmas with the Cranks or Four Christmases or, oh, God, that movie with Matthew Broderick Deck the Halls, Danny DeVito.
It's just what they're trying to do is like they know they're not making a good movie.
Yeah.
They're like, hey, they're gonna want to go see something at Christmas that maybe isn't A Miracle on 34th Street, that isn't one of those. Like they want something, a different one.
Mm-hmm.
And here, what about something with Christmas in the title?
Yeah.
We got your money. Never watch it again. Never talk about it again. It's just garbage.
You walk out all sullen like, oh boy,
yeah.
I am not in the holiday spirit.
But so, like, Elf was a fun Christmas movie.
Yeah.
But now Elf is one of those things, now, like, 10 years later, like, we always watch Elf. I'm like, okay.
It's a 24-hour marathon of Elf.
So, I just don't like being a slave to the same 10 movies, you know, whatever the movie count is.
And you have to watch them all.
I'm like, no, I do not.
But you have to. It's tradition.
I'm not. I refuse. Luckily, the couple of movies that my wife is like, I'm sorry, I have to watch these couple of movies. It's How the Grinch Stole Christmas, the original, like, animated one,
mm-hmm.
and also the claymation, Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. That means it takes me, like, 50 minutes to watch both, mm-hmm. and I'm done. I'm like, cool, got it.
Sure.
And they're not bad. I actually do enjoy them. But we don't have to do 12 Christmas movies. You know,
oh,
like,
God, no.
Kills me. God, kills no. me.
That's a number five.
My number five.
My number four is Mistletoe. This isn't very prevalent in modern-day Christmas parties, but every now and then, there's some mistletoe above you, and then you guys look at each other. It's like, well, I guess we have to kiss. Like, no, we don't. It is 2016. We don't have to kiss because a fucking fig leaf is above our heads. I will kiss you when I want to kiss you. You are eating an onion sandwich, you gross piece of shit.
Oh, my God. Who did you kiss? Who did you have to kiss?
My Aunt Gertrude.
Seriously, it's like fucking Larry that works in IT.
You know who invented mistletoe? A creepy uncle somewhere.
Yeah,
or the drunk guy at a Christmas party back in the 1800s. Who just wanted to kiss ladies.
You know what? I got to disagree with you on four.
What are you talking about?
Oh, my God. Okay, A, never had to kiss Onion Breath Larry. Never had to do that.
Gertrude.
And I just, come on, we know it was Larry.
You're right.
You're being politically correct today, so let's call it Larry. In the dark ages before I was with my wife, I shared a pretty cool kiss under mistletoe, and it was I like to think a fairly suave move by myself and, like, handled well. And, like, a girl that I very much wanted to kiss. And, like, and when I brought her under there, we were conversating. And I was like, oh, my, we have, oh, look, what? Well, it happens. Do you like broccoli cheese soup?
Yes, but you have to recognize for every cool kiss like that, there are a dozen creepy instances where a drunk guy's like, we're under the mistletoe.
Well, you said a dozen, and I was going to say 1,000.
Okay, good. Well, I went low.
So I have very few kisses under mistletoe.
Mm.
So I have a very, like, shining beacon that was really cool.
Yeah.
And I don't really have any other. I'm like, maybe a little peck here and there. Whatever. Yeah. Just one Uncle Larry. No big deal. Apparently you find yourself under mistletoe with just the worst people all of the time.
Yeah, it's a constant thing.
Hey, look, I just changed your oil. Oh, well, here we are.
Under the mistletoe.
Why do you keep mistletoe on your hood? Oh, well. Hello.
That'll be $200.
Jesus Christ. I fucking hate oil mistletoe.
That's what number four is, mistletoe.
Okay.
The date rape drug of plants.
All right. This is walking upon the razor's edge here of unpolitical correctness in a very serious way. But whatever. I don't like it, so I'm throwing it on the list. Number four. Give me Midnight Mass.
Okay.
If you want to talk about traditions that go back quite a ways. I feel like midnight mass at church may be earlier than mistletoe. Not totally sure, because I don't give a shit. But
I wasn't going to go down this road, but I'm happy that you are going down this road.
Because I don't care. So I'll go down. We're going non-politically correct. To state things, I'm not a God-fearing man. I'm not a church-going man.
You are a boob-fearing man.
I'm a boob-loving man. I don't get down with the religion, not my thing. And it's totally fine if that is your thing. However, whether it is or is not, I'll tell you this. Part of my life, growing up with the magic of Christmas, of we had the Christmas Eve celebration with the whole family, Christmas morning with like my immediate family right there, and then another Christmas Day celebration with other family. At no point in my life was dropping everything and going to church part of my Christmas experience.
Yeah.
So the idea, just to me, and if it's your thing, by all means, do your thing. This is just for me.
Yeah.
The idea of, like, Christmas Eve, like, oh, man, like, Mom, thank you so much for this. Oh, I wanted this so bad. This is a great gift. You're like, okay, everyone into the car, off to church.
What?
Wait, am I being punished for receiving this gift? Why do we have to go to the most boring place in the world? At midnight, there is 0% chance I stay awake for this endeavor. 0%.
Like, we have to celebrate the birth of Christ. And you're like, you realize Christ wasn't actually born this day. Like, wait, shut up!
Okay. Are you giving us dirty talk?
No.
No. It's not the voice. No.
Because I'm getting turned on. Is that mistletoe?
Uncle Larry.
Hey, I changed your oil.
I just, religion, A, not my bag.
Not a fan.
And also, I got to tell you right now, if you're trying to tell me on a holiday that I have just stuffed myself full of food, probably had a couple of drinks, on an emotional high, perhaps, from a good gift, and then you're trying to whisk me away to church, tell you right now, not gonna happen. Not a fan. So, again, if this is, I'm not raining on the Christian parade, if it's important to you, by all means, let it be important to you, that's cool. It is just not important to me. Thus why it makes my number four on my list.
Sure. My number three. You got dangerously close to this. This is a personal one for me. Every single effing year, for as long as I can remember, my mom forces us to sit down and watch Christmas movies, specifically those stupid claymation films.
Yeah.
Like Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer.
Yep.
And like you said, I fucking get it. The Island of Misfit Toys.
Yep.
Yep, been there, done that. The weird, the abominable, so, the what's it called? The abominable?
The abominable snowman.
Yeah.
Because abominables bounce.
That's right. Because I remember the abominables bounce. Good Lord. I'm done. I'm done with it. I'm done. We gotta watch Frosty the Snowman. No, we don't. Why not? Because I'm 31.
You know, it's crazy to think about that. Say your mom has been forcing you to watch this since you're, I don't know, five years old.
Yeah.
Roughly. Let's say you're 30 right now. Just round numbers. That means that you've watched that movie 25 times. What other movies have you ever watched 25 times?
Steve, let me tell you. None of them.
Zero other movies.
Zero other movies. And what? I see you say Elf has become a tradition. I would take that over this abomination.
Oh!
Ooh, the new Christmas tradition at the house that we have to sit down and watch is the Jim Carrey's Grinch Who Stole Christmas.
Which is significantly longer than the original.
It's approximately 4.5 hours. We got the Lord of the Rings extended cut for this one.
How long is an advent calendar? That is roughly how long How the Grinch Stole Christmas is.
It, you know what? The first time I saw it, it was amusing. Second time I saw it, it was fine. But however long since it's been out, 10 years, let's say, I am so sick of Jim Carrey's bullshit.
You know what? Like this, if you're going to do the holiday movie thing, like at least like if we've decided as a society that there are, let's just say, 10 Christmas movies, whatever. A Christmas Story, Miracle on 34th Street, both How the Grinch Stole Christmas. Let's say your family's kind of cool and, like, let's also throw A Nightmare Before Christmas in there just to mix it up. Like, you know, whatever. Say you've got 10 movies. That means watch one or maybe two every year and rotate it. You know, it's like, so you're not watching The Grinch every year. That means every fifth year. You saw it when you're 10, when you're 15, you're 20. Like, okay, all right.
Yeah.
Fine. Family time, I'm still kind of remembering stuff. Fine. Yeah. Every fucking year. Get out of here.
And my mom, love my mom to death. She, until she's dead, I love her.
Which is soon.
Oh, my God. But she has this control thing where when she gets something in her mind, she has to make it happen. And this is one of those things that she has to make happen every single year. And if you try to not do it, if you go out with other people, who's like, oh, my God, I know that she's going to make me sit down and watch Rudolph. She will wait, or she will call and text you till you get back home. Or if you're just downstairs like, Mom, I'd rather watch Luke Cage. I'm almost done with this episode. Like, Wes, we're going to watch Rudolph. Wes, and then she'll just turn to that broken record. Wes, we're going to watch Rudolph. Wes, are you about done? We're going to watch Rudolph when you're done. Wes, like, I'm 31!
Let me make my own choices!
Yeah, so that's my number three. Okay. Watching effing Rudolph.
Okay. Number three, I'm going with crazy light displays.
Interesting.
So the main reason this is brought up, because I'm in this crazy world of newborn parenting, that, like, I find myself watching just more stuff in general because I just have this little baby in my arms that can't respond to anything, and there's just stuff on the TV just to be on all the time. And in this Christmas season, they've got this ridiculous show. It's on ABC, I think, and it's like Christmas Light Battle or some bullshit, mm-hmm. something. It's just, it's terrible. And I'm ashamed that I've seen, like, four episodes of it. Like, ugh, who am I? Why am I watching this? It's just on. And it's these people that go to these ridiculous light displays that people put on that, like, they've got, like, oh, I've got an acre and a half, and I've got 6.7 million Christmas lights. It's like, oh, my God. It's like, yep. Basically, so when we take this down, January 1st, we're planning for next year. We're drawing up schematics. We're buying lights at auctions. We're fashioning. We're welding. We're, it's like, oh my fucking God.
Good Lord, just leave it up all year at that point.
It's like, God, if you could just imagine, if you could take not just your money, but if you could take your desire and your effort.
Your ambition.
And put it to something that isn't just driving up your electric bill.
Yeah. Like, why don't you build some houses for the homeless?
Imagine what you could do with your life. So then we saw one where this guy is like, not only do I do the house and the yard, we do our yacht. It's like, oh no, you have decked out your yacht in ridiculous Christmas lights. Like, it's like, I hate you. I hate you.
You decked out your yacht, a thing that's meant to be in water, and then plugged in the Christmas lights.
It's so, I do remember specifically, there is one house in Downers Grove in Illinois, where I grew up, that had this killer display. Like, the guy had, like, a dual garage, and both garage doors were up, and there was, like, this gigantic train set that went through, like, this winter wonderland kind of thing, and, like, the top of the roof, and he had, like, these animatronic things in the yard. And I will admit, like, as a kid, it was every year we went over there to just to the display was pretty much the same every year, but like it was so far and away the best one in the area that like it was special to go see it. Yeah. So I get that part of it. Mm-hmm. And there was one dude out of the, like, I don't know, 25, whatever it is that I watched in this show, that was very, like, kid-oriented, and, like, they hand-painted all of the stuff that they made, and, like, it was this very, like, kind of mom-and-pops organization kind of deal that they were doing. It was, like, for the kids. I was like, cool. You guys, like, you're older, you're grandparents, and this is, like, okay, I kind of get it. Cool for you. These other people are, like... You know, to each their own, and that's fine if it's a thing that you enjoy. But there's something to me, like, we just deck the house out for 3 weeks and we go fucking crazy. Where I'm like, okay, there is better use of your time and money. And there's just something about it that just seems, like, obsessive compulsive.
Yeah.
And, like, there's, I don't know.
I think there's some weird status... Yeah. Thing to
yeah.
Some weird competition unspoken.
Yeah, and again, when I was a kid, I know this makes me sound super old, but when I was a 6-year-old kid,
we didn't have lights.
But lights were because we were raised Amish.
That's right. All we had was Christmas candles.
But we did not have the internet as readily available as it is now. So like that dude's lights in Downers Grove that the surrounding towns came over, like the only reason you came there is because like it was like word of mouth and people came over there. It wasn't because some dude posted his light show on YouTube and then the other guy's like, I gotta outdo this dude, you know, a couple towns over. And like there's that point where it's like there was a cool, you know, the cool thing a couple years ago was like synchronizing your lights to the music, and like there was some cool stuff. But it's now at this point of lights, in my opinion, it's just like, whose light dick is bigger?
Yeah.
You know, it's like, how many lights can you jam onto your house?
Mm-hmm.
Like, how ridiculous can you... We've gone past the point of, like, good taste and for the kids and good fun to, like, look at my light dick. You know, it's like, okay.
Yeah.
So that, once we cross that threshold... It kind of lost the magic to me.
And then it doesn't stop at the lights either. You get the lawn displays.
Yeah. It's all, I mean, it's like, oh, so this is for the people that are flying over in the planes. It's like, okie dokie.
All right.
Right. Okay. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So there are going to be light displays I take my daughter to and be like, hey, Christmas. Cool, right? And that will be fun. It'll be a cool thing. But... Let's keep it in reason. Okay.
Yeah. All right. Moderation, people.
Moderation, people.
That's right.
Not everything can be Wisconsin cheese soup and broccoli.
Not everything can. Just okay. Wisconsin cheese soup and broccoli
all
can.
Right. that's my number three, crazy light displays.
My number two, and this might be a point of contention. I have a specific reason for my number two. My number two is stockings.
Really?
Yeah. For the past 4-5 years, remember how I just said my mom is very, she gets an idea in her head and she will nag you until it happens?
I remember.
She, do you remember? Okay.
I remember.
Should we roll back the podcast?
Roll back. I think it was about approximately 5 minutes ago.
Okay. So for the past 4 or 5 years, she has it in her head that me and my brother and the 3 stepsisters need to decorate our stockings with like glue and glitter and stuff.
Every year?
Every year.
What? No, you do it once.
Yeah. You would think.
I do think that.
No.
You've not changed my opinion.
well, that's what a sane person would do. But no, we do a different stocking every year. And then a few years ago, I started being like, what is the purpose of stockings? This 9-foot-tall dude that lost a sock we hang above our fireplace. It is itchy and woolly, and you can't put anything in it except... candy that I won't eat, and guess what? It's flammable, and we hang it above a fireplace. What is the purpose of this? What? I remember one year I got an orange. One orange.
I get an orange every year.
Just, you know what? I'm not against oranges, but it's like one of those
I gotta tell you, Wes.
Really?
I gotta tell you, Wes, it sounds like you're against oranges.
Really? One orange? This is gonna be delicious. I mean, like, where's the rest of the goddamn oranges?
Wait, you only got one orange and nothing else in your stocking?
No, I get, like, the point I'm trying to go for is, instead of getting me one orange, why don't you just have a bag of oranges in the cupboard so I can have an orange whenever I goddamn feel like it?
I'm pretty sure oranges originated in stockings because back in the olden days, when, like, citrus fruit was more rare, like, to have an orange in your stocking was a legitimate treat.
Mm-hmm.
Like, as if you were to be getting delicious chocolates.
Mm-hmm. Is this around the time when you were six, when the internet was just becoming a thing?
No, it was, my friend, that was too long ago. No time can be measured past that. So I still, every year, I get an orange in my stocking, and I also get at least two Hot Wheels cards.
Okay, that's fine. Yeah. You obviously aren't going with me on this. That's fine.
No, but you know what? I understand it. I understand. I would not want to decorate a stocking every year.
Yeah, I don't. I don't like that.
And by the way, real quick, this particular year, since Christmas Eve and Christmas Day are on the weekend, and since I have a kid and, like, my perception of time is totally skewed, and, like, someone said on this last Monday, like, yeah, well, this weekend, for Christmas, I was like, oh, God, what? What are you talking about? Because we don't get a specific, like, I think everyone observes Christmas the Monday after, so you get that day off. But, like, you know, normally it's like, you know, I think it was like, you, like, Christmas is on Thursday. And so it's like, everyone also gets the Friday.
Yeah,
so,
yeah,
like,
yeah.
Long weekend. Like, it's like, it's just, it's so, it has felt so un-Christmas this year to me. I'm the Grinchiest I've ever been.
Well, Steve, you're going to get that orange in your stocking.
I'm sure I will.
Can you at least go with me in the fact that stockings are such an outdated tradition?
No. No.
You can't?
I will not.
You can't agree with me on that?
I will not agree with you on that.
Why not?
I feel like there are... It is an old tradition. And I think that's why I like the stocking. Because when you get a regular present under the tree, it's like, was it the thing that I wanted? You know, or like, not so much this year, or when we get more into our adult years, because we ask, I think, for less, you know, sort of deal. It's like, I don't know, something for the kids, you know,
yeah.
I don't know, just some socks, you know,
yeah.
like whatever, I don't care. I buy the things that I want to buy,
yeah.
You know, you don't need to buy me anything. But when you're, you know, that, like, 8 years old to shit, like, I don't know, 25, something like that. You're like, is the present under the tree, is that the thing I wanted?
Mm-hmm.
The thing about the stocking is, like, that's the wild card kind of thing.
Yeah.
It's like, you know what? You're going to get an orange. You know you're going to get an orange. You're going to get some Matchbox cars. You're probably going to get some candy. It's like, but maybe, just maybe, is there something really cool in your stocking?
Maybe back when iPods were becoming the rage.
Well, I know I got my Nintendo 64, and, like, I know I got a game in the stocking, which, like, traditionally that would be an under-tree present. My mom's like, you know what, fuck it. Let's bump up the stocking this year. Like, game in the stocking. Like, oh, shit, orange, Matchbox car, candy, what, Pilot Wing 64? I dig it. It's a wild card. Wild card.
Maybe it's just because I'm getting older, a little more curmudgeonly, and my mom really isn't handling that very well, I don't think.
Okay.
So she forces everyone to do these traditions that we used to do back when we were kids. We never used to decorate stockings when we were kids, by the way. But she's just forcing us to do these family things. Like, it's basically arts and crafts for the quote-unquote kids. She and my stepdad didn't decorate a stocking. She had the kids do it. Maybe that's my real number two. When your parents have empty nest syndrome and they try to force you to be kids again.
I was going to say, Wes, it's time to give her a grandkid. Come on.
Gosh, she probably has a few.
That'll get you off the hook, man.
Yeah.
You don't have to do that shit anymore if you give her a grandkid. Done.
Okay, great. Can I use yours?
Yeah, by all means. Loner kid. Let's
Thank
go.
Thank you.
All right.
That's my rule number two, empty nest syndrome.
Number two, it's going to be brief. It's going to be quick. It's pretty simple. Ugly sweaters, ugly Christmas sweaters, done with it.
Yep.
Done.
Yep.
It was funny a couple of years ago. Oh, my God, ugly Christmas sweater party. Here we go. Your worst sweater. Get it from your mom's closet. Ha, ha, ha.
Yeah.
Fucking done. Once Old Navy's like, we have ugly Christmas sweaters for $4.99. It's like, cool, this is over.
It was cool. It was like a one-time thing. It was like a one-time thing. Like you said, this is ironic. We're wearing these because they're goofy looking.
Yeah.
And
It's the cool party that happened when you were in college.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, hey, guys, everyone get your ugliest Christmas sweater you can play. It's like, you know, it's like call your uncles, call your mom, whatever. Like, get one from, like, 79. You know, the worst thing you can find. Totally cool. Like, and that's a fun party thing. Like, if you're in high school, you're in college, cool. Like, but now it is this absolute commercialized to the nth degree thing.
Because me, I would have to go out and buy an ugly Christmas sweater.
Done.
Which,
not doing it.
Which
I'm not,
gates the whole thing.
I'm not going to American Eagle to buy a $45 ugly sweater. Like, done. The whole thing is over. We blew it, everybody.
Mm-hmm.
It was fun for like 3 years. It's over. It's done. Moving on. Number two, ugly sweaters. Done.
Bye.
Bye.
I real quick before I move on to my number one, I think the point of the ugly sweaters was the fact that for a long time it was tradition for your aunt or your grandma or whoever to knit the kids a sweater, and they were always ugly.
Right.
So that was the point. But now, like you said, when it became so commercialized, we lost what made it a tradition.
Listen, once the NBA, the National Basketball Association, once they mass produce ugly sweaters for each team on the NBAstore.com, done. I'm out. It's over, people. It's over. We're done. Christmas story. It's over. Ugly sweaters. It's over. Decorating your own stocking. It's over, people.
That's right.
I'm 30 years old.
I'm 31.
Done.
So my number one, this one will probably be, this one is specific to me, but I'm sure a number of listeners can relate. So I come from a small town. We've talked about it so many times before, but my small town is different, where pretty much all of my family, both sides, are there. My mom, my stepdad, my mom's side, up until this past year or two, my whole mom's side were there. My dad's side, who I do not get along with, except for my dad's dad, my grandpa, I do not get along with any of them because we have completely opposing views. But whenever I come back to hang out with my mom's side, I have to see my dad's side of the family. And it's my number one specifically is seeing every single member of the family who you do not want to see just because you're there. And it's not just my dad, my uncle. It's that my grandpa comes from a family of 9 brothers.
Ugh.
And a lot of those brothers stayed in Hamilton, my hometown, and they had families. And a lot of those families stayed in Hamilton. So I got a lot of Whitakers there. So what happens is I have to see every single person that I only see at Christmas. And again, these people and I'm not saying one way is better than the other, but we have completely different views, completely different interests. When I had the same conversation 30 fucking times.
Yeah.
Hey, Wes, what are you doing? Well, I'm doing, improv at Second City. I do a little bit of acting here and there. I've been dabbling in sketch.
Yeah, but you shot anything lately? Yeah,
exactly. And I'm like, well, what did you do? What have you done? Like, oh, well, I got my pickup truck ready for the weather. I'm going hunting next week. I'm betting on NASCAR. Like, whatever. Like, I'm not saying one is better. I'm saying they're both so different that we have no middle ground. So it just I had that conversation 30 times. I tell them what's going on. They tell me what's going on. We
Blank
have nothing.
Stairs.
Exactly. We have nothing to say after that. And then it's like an awkward, well, good to see
you. You might as well be like a Chinese foreign exchange student. Like, there's,
yeah.
It's like,
hey, I'm NASCAR, and I'm going to shoot a deer, and what about you? Ding dong pao, si kung fiao. It's like, okay, well, see you later. Way to go, Wang Chung. All right.
What used to be the most painful thing, and I promise we'll wrap up because we're already going long, every single year was the Whitaker family Christmas, where it was all these family members who I did not want to see wrapped up in one building, or as I like to call it, my own personal hell. So not only did I have to have the same conversation 30 times, I had the same conversation 30 times in rapid succession.
God.
Just going down the line.
A gauntlet.
Yeah.
You know what? I mean, I'm sure many, many people can relate to that. Ugh. God.
Yeah.
Ugh.
Yeah. Blech. So that's my number one.
My number one. Black Friday. Which, the reason I'm counting this in Christmas is because the moment you finish your Thanksgiving dinner, you are now into Christmas season.
Mm-hmm.
The moment.
I thought of this, but yeah, go ahead.
So, I mean, you could say also like the commercialization of Christmas. And you know what? Like, I'm not, this is specifically going to the store. Stores are open on Thanksgiving Day starting at like 6 p.m. and then the day after Thanksgiving. That is specifically what I'm not talking about like Cyber Monday or like I'm not talking about like, oh, deals for Christmas. Gotta get your money. You know, dude, cause I'm into it. Like I'm fine with like sitting in my computer on the Saturday after Thanksgiving and like it's 1 o'clock on Saturday. What the fuck is on sale? Like, cool, great. These boxers that I've always bought. Wait a minute!
Butt crack!
Butt crack city! You know, like, I'm fine with, like, companies being like, we are going to make X percent of our money in the holiday season. And, like, that's fine. And I'm fine with people, like, deal hunting. And, like, that's totally fine. But I am not okay with the companies that are like, get to our store the minute you finish your Thanksgiving dinner. Like,
yeah.
Like get here. Like, we only have two TVs here, but they're only 60 cents.
Yeah.
You know, like, I'm not okay with that. There's something about the entire, you know, like, and this is not like some sort of news break or, you know, anything, like people beating the shit out of each other to get the last Tickle Me Elmo, you know, or like, you know, whatever that quote unquote holiday thing is. Like,
mm-hmm.
I'm fine with companies making their money and doing these sales and doing their thing. But like, it's similar to the Christmas lights where it's like one upping. And like now it's to the point where like we have reached the ridiculous point.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, let us think about how this has gone. Like, cause when we were, I don't know. Maybe we didn't think about it as much because we were young, but like, I'm guessing in 1990, you know, whatever, like that the Black Friday stuff didn't start at, you know, 5 p.m. on Thanksgiving,
yeah.
You know, like, so like over 20-ish years, like now that's what it is. And people are working and doing their thing. And like, what happens 10 years from now? Like, what is the next evolution of the Black Friday deal?
Thanksgiving's gone. It's Black Thursday.
You know, like, I mean, that's, I mean, really, I mean, that's, it sounds ridiculous to say, but I mean, that is what it's going to be, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's just going to keep moving back and back. And it's like, hey, have your Thanksgiving dinner with us and save 70% on your new washer and dryer, you know, or whatever the fuck it's going to be.
Yeah, yeah.
It is ridiculous. It is to the point of ridiculous. To the point now where other companies that don't do the Black Friday are using it as marketing material of like, hey, we've never been open on Thanksgiving and we're here for the families. It's like that. I mean, I appreciate you saying that, but you shouldn't have to say it.
Yeah.
Because other companies shouldn't put you in the position to be able to even say that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, let's be real about everyone wants to save some money. Everyone wants a deal. Everyone wants a sale. Can we just agree that, Thanksgiving is off limits. Like, it's done.
Yeah.
If you want to do a midnight thing, fine. Only assholes will go out and get it at midnight anyway. Fine. I mean, whatever. Like, whatever you get. Or can we agree that the next day at 6 a.m., that's when it starts?
Yeah, yeah.
Like, fine. Whatever. But I have zero interest in being out of my house participating in Black Friday. So, I mean, maybe there's part of me, like, maybe I'm to blame, too, because I'll go on Amazon and I'll check out, you know, Black Friday. Like, I'll do Black Friday via online, but I will not go outside to brick and mortar and be a part of it. Like,
sure.
Maybe I'm part of the problem. I don't know. But it's like every year it just gets worse and worse and worse with more and more companies participating and more people beating the shit out of each other to get a shitty TV for a dollar.
Like, yeah,
it's stupid. It's awful. I hate it. And I obviously am not part of the religious part of Christmas, but like the goodness that is within Christmas of caring about one another, you know, giving things to one another, being selfless, those kind of things. Black Friday at 6 p.m. on actual Thursday has none of those values.
Yeah.
None of the things that make Christmas good are a part of that. Mm. So scrap it. I'm done. I'm over it. So in review, the things I'm done with in Christmas overall. I'm done with the repertoire of Christmas movies. I am also done with Midnight Mass because I don't get down with the Jesus. Number three, I'm done with crazy light displays. Number two, ugly sweaters. Got it. Over. Moving on to the next thing. Number one, Black Friday / Black Half Thursday. Done.
My top five things I'm done with. My number five is Christmas cards with a smiling, happy family. That's a lie, and you know it, Waltons. My number four is mistletoe from Drunk Uncle Larry. My number three is being forced to watch Christmas movies with the family. My number two is being forced to make stockings every single year because my mom can't handle that. I'm over 30. My number one is seeing members of my family, being forced to see members of my family that I have nothing in common with. I only see once a year. We spend 30 seconds talking to each other before we realize this is why we don't talk ever. So,
man, you get Christmas raped a lot.
Yeah.
You are forced to do all sorts of things against your will at Christmas.
It's crazy.
This has been an extra long podcast. Sorry about missing the last couple weeks again. Babies, sickness, Christmas. You guys know how it goes. We love you. We're sorry we missed you.
This has been a very bah humbug podcast because we want to do something a little bit different because we've always had positive podcasts the past couple years.
Oh,
I know. But we just want to say that we do love the holidays and we hope that you have a very happy holidays, whatever you celebrate.
We love many things about the holidays and most importantly about being around family and friends and sharing your time with them. And that's what I love about the holidays. So I'm not 100% against the holidays.
Yes.
But it's about those relationships. It's not about the gifts. It's about being with the people that you deem important and that you love those people. So please, in the upcoming weeks here, both for Christmas and for New Year's, find the people you love, be around them, make them feel important. Mm-hmm. That's the most important thing.
That's right. But if you want to join us for a moment of bah humbugness about your top five things that you feel just need to go.
I'm done. I'm over.
Yeah, that's right. It's over. You can email us at fiveplaynet@gmail.com. You can leave a comment here, oneofus.net.
But as always, I hope you all have a very Merry Christmas. I'm Steve.
I'm Wes.
That was Five. And we're out.